Manx Radio Sport.
Minutes past five here on Manx Radio AM, and this is Classified, the final one for 2025. Yes, we're all getting in the festive spirit here. Myself, Tony, and Dave Christian will all be here throughout the next hour to talk all things sport in football, rugby, and hockey. But first, as always, we'll start with the classified results. And we are going to start with rugby. And in Regional 2 Northwest, Douglas 19, Sandbach 21. Counties 3, ADM, Langs and Cheshire. Ramsey 17, Ashton Underline 26. Vagabonds 14, Cleefel Rose 26. Women's NC North, Vagabonds 10, Old Williams 0. In hockey, in the mixed plate final, Valkyries B 2, Backers C 0. In the mixed bowl final, Castletown Camags 1, Vikings D 1, Vikings winning 4-2 on penalty flicks. In the England Hockey Men's Tier 3 Vars, Trinians Men's First 2, Isle of Man Men's B 4. In football, in Canada Life Men's Premier League, we are waiting on results from the following games: Union Mills against Foxdale, Corinthians against Peel, Russian United against Douglas High School and Old Boys, Air United v Laxey, Ramsey v Onken, and St Mary's v St John's. Arden and Druggan Division 2. We are awaiting result from Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against St George's. Malou 5, Governance Athletic 3. Colby against Douglas Royal and Paul Rose against Maroun, both postponed due to unfit pitches. Canada Life Combination 1. Foxdale against Union Mills, match postponed due to unfit pitch. Awaiting results from Peel against Corinthians. Douglas High School and Old Boys v Russian. Laxey against Air, a home walkover to Laxey, Air unable to field a team. And we are awaiting result on Onken against Ramsey. St John's United against St Mary's, a home walkover to St John's, St Mary's unable to field a team. Arden and Druggan Combination 2, Governors Athletic against Malou, and away walkover to Malou, Governors Athletic unable to field the team. Awaiting result from Douglas and District against Jims. Douglas Royal 2, Colby 4, awaiting result from Michael United v Castletown. Douglas Athletic against St George's, a home walkover to Douglas Athletic. St George's unable to field the team. And Maroun against Paul Rose. That was Maroun 3, Paul Rose 4. So that is your classified results. As you can hear there, we are missing quite a few football results. Tony is here in the studio. He is just getting everything together. So hopefully, if you have messaged Tony, we will have that and them scores that are missing for you. If not, we will be asking you to get in touch with us on 166 177 on text and WhatsApp or email studio@manxradio.com. Let's talk rugby first, and we'll say a very good evening to Dave Christian. Dave, very good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening, Ben. It's been a chilly day out there with that strong wind coming from the southwest. and it's made playing conditions kind of difficult too. Not as bad as it was last week with that northerly that was coming in with horizontal rain. No, tell a lie, that was 2 weeks ago. It was blistering cold that day, but today it wasn't that much warmer. But nevertheless, everyone put in a good effort, but it was Vagabonds Ladies that actually flew the flag this afternoon, the only team that actually managed to win. We start at the top, Douglas against Sandbach in Regional 2 Northwest. Douglas were top of the table. They lost last week at West Park St Helens, surprisingly, as it happens. And today they had Sandbach at home. Sandbach were the early season pace setters, raced into a lead, and Douglas pegged them back in the end to take that top spot off them. Today was Sandbach's turn to exact a little bit of revenge. 21-19 they beat Douglas home. Douglas picked up a bonus point from that. They hang on to fourth place in Regional 2 Northwest, and the close rivals they have in the table, North Ribblesdale and Vale of Loon. Ribblesdale won this afternoon, so they keep the pressure on at the top, but Vale of Loon lost at home to Widnes, which leaves Douglas in that fourth place. They have a game in hand still, which is going to be played at the end of January, and that game in hand could leave them as high as second. This afternoon, Matty Wood, the new standoff this season, went over twice for Douglas, who were actually leading the game with 10 minutes to play, similar to when they played Sandbach away. Simon Hodinot, he picked up a try. Nathan Robson kicked two conversions for them. It's not all done and dusted yet for Douglas. As we'll hear shortly, Ramsey and Vagabonds have finished their 2025 games, but the fixtures fairies not being very kind to Douglas, and they have to travel to Altrincham Kersall next Saturday for their final game of 2025, and whatever that may bring. Fingers crossed for them for that one, and hard luck today and last week. I know the guys have been working very hard this season, and to see them get to the top of the table, and then the minute they hit the peak, they're on the downslope at the other side straight away. But there's a lot of mileage left this season. They do have that game in hand, and they do have to play North Ribblesdale yet, and that will be away, and I think it's the final game of the season too. In Counties 3, ADM 2025 did come for an end to Ramsey and Vagabonds this afternoon, but with home defeats for both. Ramsey bottom of the table, Vagabonds next to bottom. Ramsey lost 26-17 to third place Ashton on the line at the Murrick, and Vagas lost out 26-14 to Clitheroe at Bala Fletcher. It was an early penalty try, in fact, sent Ashton on their way at Ramsey. They had made a break down the right flank. I think it was Connor Winfield who had made the break, but he was brought down with a high tackle as he was crossing the try line. Referee Gareth Hinge went straight under the post for a 7-pointer for Ashton. Ethan Sykes followed that up with a try that was converted by Josh Patterson, and Ashton looking very threatening with a 14-0 lead. Ramsey, though, they struck back. A Jake Richmond try converted by Dan Kelly got them back into the game, but as soon as the ball was kicked off again, they coughed one up at the other end with Lewis Patterson touching down for Ashton to leave the score 19-7 at half time. In the second half, Tom Ainsworth ran in for a bonus point for Ashton just after the break, but Ramsey kept plugging away, and at the end they were rewarded. There were two tries in the final 10 minutes from Rory Nicholson, who was celebrating his 100th league appearance for the club, and Ashton also had a little bit of self-destruct in all that. They had two red cards close to the end, off the ball scuffles, I think, but referee Gareth Hinge had seen enough to warrant flashing the red card. So they were down to 13, but it didn't matter too much. Ramsey got nothing from the game. They didn't score four tries, and they didn't finish within 7 points, so no bonus points for Ramsey, and Ashton already had the bonus point in the bag. They are currently top of the table, but we are waiting for a couple of results in Counties 3 ADM, and they don't affect Ramsey or Vagabonds, who are at the foot of the table and destined to play in the lower half when the league splits into two just after Christmas. Up at Bala Fletcher, similar scoreline, 26-14 it was to Clitheroe. They were 8th place going into the game. They've moved into the top 7 now, barring a couple of late results this afternoon, and look like they might just claim a place in the top half when the league splits. They won 26-14 with a bonus point. Vagabonds got tries from Cameron Finley and Theo Head, with Finley converting both, but not quite enough in the tank for Vagabonds to get anything out of the game, similar to Ramsey's. And finally, the ladies showing the men how things should be done. The only league win of the afternoon. They beat Aldwinians 10-0 at Bella Fletcher in women's NC2 North South. Most of the games in this division and in ladies rugby in generally played on a Sunday. So we can say that Vagabonds have moved a place in the table, but we can't confirm that until tomorrow's games. But it looks like, depending on how results go tomorrow, they could just sneak into fourth place. Their try machine and potentially player of the season, Freya Crowe, added another two this afternoon to her tally, meaning she scored at least one try in every game so far this season. An incredible record from a very, very fast lady. They get her the ball in a little bit of space and nobody can catch her. So well done, Freya Crowe, an incredible season for her so far. And well done, Vaggers ladies. They finished off 2025 with a big W in the win column. Ben.
Absolutely, Dave. Thank you very much, as always. Dave, of course, this is the last one before Christmas. So any festive rugby action over Christmas?
Yeah, we do. There'll be the round of charity games, most of them played on Boxing Day. I haven't got kick-off times or venues confirmed for these, but normally the Paul Cleland Memorial Trophy is played up at Vagabonds, between Vagabonds and the Young Farmers. There's a unders and overs, under 30, over 30, I think, at Douglas and at Southern Nomads down there at Ballachilia Park, the Field of Dreams. And there's the memorial game at Castletown as well. And they're all played on Boxing Day. We do have a front row challenge as well. That's normally played on the Saturday in between Christmas and New Year. But we may have to shift that date there because Boxing Day is on the Friday. Anybody who's involved on the Friday won't want to be playing again on the Saturday. We wouldn't have thought. So we'll have a little rethink about where that game might fit in. But hopefully we'll get venues, kickoff times, and they're all confirmed, and we'll get them into Manx Radio for a website and social media.
Absolutely, Dave. Well, Dave, before we let you go, a Merry Christmas, and we'll speak to you in 2026.
Excellent. Have a good one, and have a good one, everybody else.
Dave Christian, thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sport.
14 minutes past five, let's talk all things football, and I'm pleased to say that Tony Meppham is with us in the studio. Tony, it's been a bit of an eventful day, hasn't it?
It certainly has. Had to fit my wife's Christmas present today, a new front door and etc. And just took a little bit longer and battling with the weather and the wind, but we're in. So I might get some Christmas food now, but my apologies for the scores there because we're late getting in, trying to collate them all together. But we've got there now, I think, a little bit of information missing, but two or three good reports coming in as well.
Yeah, we were about to send out a search party to look for Tony. We hadn't heard from him all afternoon, so we were a bit worried. Let's look at Canada Live Men's Premier League. Union Mills against Foxdale. I've got nothing on the sheet.
No, and I haven't. I've just sent a text to try and find out. It wasn't on the postponements at lunchtime. Thought it might have been missed by us, but it hasn't. So we're just waiting to hear back. But Union Mills and Foxdale, as far as I know, was played.
Okay, Corinthians 0, Peel 5.
Well, this is a big scoreline, isn't it? What an amazing scoreline. I think Peel scored a couple of goals within the first 7 or 8 minutes from what I'm hearing. But Corinthians, bad day in the office, I think, looking at one or two comments coming through from us. But, you know, certainly, you know, Thomas Brown, when he's playing and in the form he is at the moment, then you're going to struggle with him. I don't know how many assists he had, but he scored two. Anyway, Matthew Woods, great to see him back because I thought after watching him last week with that injury he got, I thought he's going to miss out a little bit here, but he scored today. Well done, Woodsy. Lee Gale got one as well, and Jason Charmer got the other one. So there's a statement from Peel, and I think Corinthians will be licking their wounds, but by all accounts, it just didn't happen for them, and Peel were excellent.
Rushen 1, Douglas High School and Old Boys 0.
Yeah, and this was a tight game throughout, as you could tell by the scoreline, and got a bit of a match report coming in from Paul Turner. And see if we get up. Yes, we have. Old Boys kicked off, but within 30 seconds, Rushen a weave through the Old Boys defence, only for Roberts to put it wide after 5 minutes. Old Boys started to get into the game and getting through the Rushen defence. That saw them awarded a free kick 20 yards out, but nothing came of it. Rushen then started smelling blood and started to push forward. Old Boys defence more, but couldn't find that goal until a 43rd minute through a Steve Riding, whose shot was deflected into the Old Boys goal. The second half saw both teams pushing and getting nowhere. And then on 79 minutes, Rushen thought they got their second and sealed all 3 points, only for it to be ruled offside. And then Old Boys started doing some pushing of their own, but couldn't find that goal they needed. So the Rushen finished the game 1-0 up against Old Boys. Just a little note on this. Adam Hudson refereed the game, well talking to both players, and he made some brilliant decisions. Tremendous new referee. Well done to Hodgie. So it's always nice to hear. But it finished up. Rushen 1, Douglas High School All Boys 0.
It's great to hear some good reports there from about the referee. Air United 2, Laxey 2. This sounds a thriller.
Yeah, it does. And I haven't got Laxey's goal scorers, but for Air United, well, good performance. And I touched on it last night, Rob, and you'll understand it in sport. Just total commitment from people. Ben Fox scored a goal today. And Thursday, he was in hospital. They detained him in hospital for a stomach problem, and then he came out, fair play. He was back at work yesterday. He was a bit under the weather, but he still cracked on. And then today he's scored a goal. So it's been an eventful sort of few days for Ben. So well done. He's only a young lad, but he got the goal. And Chris Duggan got one as well. Chris doesn't score many, and I think he should score a few more because he's a good player and very strong in front of goal, but he's been quiet of late. But I think that's a big point for Air United, because Laxey pushing at the top of the table, trying to, you know, sort of compete with Corinthians and Beale. But today it just didn't happen, and we'll try and find out the scorers as quick as we can.
Ramsey 2, Onken 0. Not a good day for Onken.
No, it isn't. And I think a lot of this goes down to the conditions, because thanks to Malcolm Kelly for coming through. But, you know, it was Ramsey 2, Onken 0, full-time. That was at half-time. That was, you know, just competitive first half. But Ramsey scorers were Cameron Tor and Ollie Grice with a header from a free kick. Very difficult conditions in the strong winds, but Ramsey's defence was on top against a strong Onken forward line. Outstanding for Ramsey were Jamie Corlett and Graham Kennish, but all played well, and it was well refereed by Matty Shaw and Chris Taggett. So I think it'll be just one linesman at that one. So well done to the two officials. And well done to Ramsey. Bounced back a little bit there.
Yeah, I mean, you could hear this afternoon when Dave Christian was reporting from his game, the wind down the north of the island, it wasn't pleasant, really. So
no, it was horrendous for Dave, because I was listening to his reports on the radio while I was working. And yeah, it must have been really windy. And by all accounts, there's been wind all over the island today. So that's what means the scores can alter a little bit. And that's what happened. We've got some wild scores coming up later.
Absolutely. St Mary's 2, St John's United 1.
Yeah, good result for St Mary's. And it was Tommy Callow with one, and Therese Thompson got the other one. Rhys Oates scored St John's goal from the penalty spot. But, you know, problems here now for St Mary's, because it sounds like Mark Wolfenden's pulled his hamstring, so he could be missing for a few weeks. But Jamie Skillen was playing for the first team today. I don't know why he's not been playing for the last 2 or 3 years, to be honest with you, Ben, because on paper, he's probably one of the most skillful players on the Isle of Man. But whether he doesn't want to play or doesn't train, I'm not too sure. But well done to him, and well done to St Mary's team, because that's a good result against a very strong St John's team.
Arden and Druggan Division 2. Now, Colby v Douglas Royal was postponed, as was Paul Rose against Moround. They were due to unfit pitches. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against St George's. Have we got any on that?
I haven't heard that one. So again, if anyone could help us out, I've just got the Union Mill score in from Alan Lamar and Dean Turton. Thank you very much, guys. It was Union Mills 5, Foxdale 4. And I think, see if Dean's got the scorers for us. Yes, he has. Thanks, Dean. And it was for Foxdale, Jay Chatwood, Will Taylor, Ricky Newsham scored from the penalty spot. And Codwani, I think it is, Sitz, got the other goal for Foxdale. So great performance by them, you know, because Union Mills are a good team. Don't know who got the goals for Millers, but, you know, to score 4 goals, that's good to see from Foxdale.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to Arden and Druggan Division 2, and the only result we've got is Maloo 5, Governors Athletic 3.
Yeah, and I've got a match report, and thanks to Jordan Drett, he's joining the party on the reports. It's good.
This is what we like.
A bit of meat to the bones of
absolutely
how the game has gone. But as you rightly say, it was Maloo 5, Governors 3, and it was a game played in horrific conditions at Clathvane. So well done to Gary Gilbert and getting the pitch ready anyway. But Maloo went 1-0 up after Joaquin, who we think it is, set up Paul Whitley for a tap-in. Governors equalised through a 30-yard screamer before Paul Whitley picked up a loose ball from a goalkeeping Howler to curl it in home from the outside of the box to make it 2-1 to Maloo. Governor's equaliser before half-time was a free kick. Governors then went 3-2 up with 20 minutes to play before Malou levelled with 45 seconds as Whitley got his hat-trick. Michael Pardew made it 4-3 for Malou when it smashed home a set piece. The win was sealed when Paddy Cooper, well done Paddy, scored a beautiful 30-yarder into the top bins to make it 5-3. The Evergreen, Peter Lewis, who's... 81, is it? 80? 81, I think. And added just 8 minutes on in the second half. But a well-deserved win for Carl Alexander and the Ballasalla lads. So cheers, Jordan. Thank you very much for that comprehensive report. And well done to Malou.
I was going to say, I know Gary Gilbert very well. He's a good egg, isn't he? He'll always make sure he'll try and get that pitch fit.
That pitch is mega, you know, because it's like anything else. Ground staff are so hard to find, and we're blessed in Manx football with some tremendous people who look after the pitch and not overprotective neither. And Gary's turned that pitch around over the last sort of 5-6 years. And whenever I speak to him, I always compliment him because, you know, it's just one of those where his son plays for another club, plays for Russian, I think it is. And he's still there with Malou getting the pitch done. So well done to Gary.
Absolutely. Canada Live Combination 1, Foxdale against Union Mills. That was postponed. A pitch was unfit to play on. What a game this is. Peel 5, Corinthians 7.
This is a right humdinger. Let's get this in perspective here. We've got 12 goals.
Yeah.
Corinthians won.
Yeah.
But Peel were 3-0 up within 19 minutes of the game.
Wow.
So what a performance that was for the first 20, and what a performance for Corinthians later on. But Toby Little got two. George Taylor, well done, George, with a goal. Ryan Tate got one. Alex Ekolongo got the other one. But for Corinthians, and this guy's going to be an absolute star, but I think he'll be snapped up next year. Ryan Nelson, he got a hat-trick. Caleb Hugill got two. Adam McCulloch on the score sheet. And Kane Riding scored from the penalty spot. And I think there's a nice touch in here. And I think it's great when you see fathers and sons play in the same team. And Stephen Curran today had to stand in as keeper. I think Jack was injured, not available. And Steve Curran stepped in goal. That's dad. And right in front of him was Lucas, his son. So it's fitting. Well done to both of them. They put a lot of effort into the club, but you know, to play in a game with your son, I think, is always special. And I know you've played hockey games with your brothers. I don't know about your dad, but certainly your brother, you play him. I don't know who's best, you or your brother. You could tell me that one. But good result for Corinthians.
I'll say it here. I'm the best, but oh, yeah. My brother might say something else, but we won't go down that route. Douglas High School and Old Boys 4, Russian 2.
That's a great result for Old Boys. I did say last night that, you know, Old Boys, when they've got the team out, they can challenge. And Russian are one of the top sides who are competing with Corinthians and with Ramsey for that title. But for Old Boys, it was Caleb Anderson who got two. Alex Ringham on the score sheet as well. And Tyler Lattice Callister got the other one. So cracker result for Old Boys.
Absolutely. And I mean, just going back there, you were saying someone else is getting in on the act with the match report. Any match reports for anyone at any games, please send them through, because it gives us something to talk about, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It's information. It's like, you know, it's nice to have all the scores. And, you know, we've had 9 goals there, you know, for Union Mills and Foxdale, and we didn't have the score. You know, it's one of them. And, you know, I feel sorry for the players, because the players would like to hear their names mentioned, I'm sure. And if we haven't got the information, we can't relay it out. So just text to me. I'll always pick it up and I'll get it out. And certainly today there's one or two sort of big scores out there, and it's nice to give the players a mention.
Absolutely. Laxey against Ayr United, that was given a home walk over to Laxey. And St John's United against St Mary's, that was a home walk over to St John's. Onken 1, Ramsey 1.
Yeah, that's a big result, that, for Onken. Big result for Corinthians, to be fair, because, you know, Ramsey were right up there competing at the top of the table, and they've dropped 2 points today. And for Onken, it was Nathan Robinson who got the goal for them. I'm not too sure who got Ramsey's goal, but, yeah, good point, that, for Onken.
Arden and Druggan, combination 2. Governors Athletic against Malou, that was an away walk over to Malou. Douglaston District against Jim's. I've got nothing on the sheet here. Have you got anything?
No, I haven't. And Dave Matheson is right on the ball. So I take it this game might have been postponed due to weather conditions, because D&D have a team, Jim's have a team. So we'll get that checked. But there's one of those clubs, Jim's. Never phone the results in. So it's always hard to give them a mention. But If the game is played, please text us through 166 177.
Douglas Royal 2, Colby 4.
Good result for Colby. Good competitive game for Douglas Royal. And let's give the young man a mention first. Caleb Cooley, 16, turned 16 this week, so he could play senior football. And, you know, sort of bang one in. So well done to him. I'm not too sure he got the second one, but Matty Pidgeon was man of the match, and it was a really good performance by Royal, even though they lost. But for Colby, it was Jack Forder with the goal. Kieran Smith got one, Steve McHugh, and an own goal.
And the same scoreline for Michael United and Castletown. Michael 2, Castletown 4.
Yeah, and I think certainly with Castletown, once the first team's played a game, I don't think you'll see Alex Crawley playing for the Combi then, because he was out injured on holiday, I'm not too sure. But today he bagged the hat-trick, so well done to him. And Alex Taylor got the other one. Not too sure who got Michael's two goals, but at half-time, 1-1. So nice and tight and all to play for, and that's what Castletown did.
Absolutely. Douglas Athletic against St George's. That was given as a home walkover to Douglas Athletic. And then Moran 3, Paul Rose 4. Another great... there's been some scorelines today. I mean, for the neutrals going to any game today, they would have been spoilt for choice.
That's mega. And when you've heard a couple of the reports there, 35-yarders and 40-yarders and that, so you can see the wind has played a massive part. But, you know, today this was tight because it was Moran 1, Paul Rose 2, and when you look at the league table, Paul Rose have still, you know, played all the games and won all the games, and they've done it again today. Not too sure I got Moran's goals, but certainly for Paul Rose, good performance. Callum Dunn got one, James Clark, David Harding, and Paul Kelch got the other one. So, you know, Paul Rose, can they go all season unbeaten? I'm sure somewhere along the line there might be a slip up, but at the moment they're going from strength to strength and top of the league.
Absolutely. So that concludes everything here on the island for today. I know Rob touched on it last night in Friday Sport. Bit of a chaotic time at the minute with rearranged fixtures. Another handful there today to put into the calendar. How are things looking so far?
We've got to be up to 70 now, Ben. We have to be. There's a lot. And when you look at, you know, at the start of the season where we had teams pull out of Division 2, so we asked the clubs to see what they wanted to do, whether just to remain playing each other once or go for playing each other three times. Once home and away and then another time, a third game. And they said we'd rather play more football, so that's what we've done. But it's ganging up a little bit on us, but we'll get through it. The clubs were asked if they wanted to play on the 27th of December, and three clubs came back and we couldn't get any fixtures out of it. Next week, there's no fixtures because obviously Black Eye Friday. So, you know, there's a lot of players who'll be finishing up work and don't want to play on the Saturday. And then the next set of fixtures is the FA Cup, the UCAP FA Cup on the 3rd of January. There's two or three rearranged fixtures. We might be able to get some more in now with the postponements from today. So we'll check them over and add to the list as we can see.
Absolutely. Team news is just coming our way for FC Alamans game. But before we go to Rob, how do you see this one going tonight? This is probably a really crucial game for FC Alamann, this one tonight.
Yeah, it's a huge game, Ben, for FC Alamann. I watched them last week, and to be honest with you, the performance was pretty good. But you can see quite clearly they haven't got someone who can bang the goals in on a regular basis. You know, Steve Whitley is great a player. He is always weighs in with his fair share of goals, but it hasn't quite happened this year. Charlie Higgins is the one that's coming up with the goals, and he's doing really well. But, you know, right the way through the team, you know, towards the end of the game, defensive sort of slip-ups cost them dearly. But, you know, it is what it is. You've just got to keep taking the points away from the teams that you're competing with and then hopefully put in some good performances against the top teams. And that's what they've been doing. So they're still very entertaining to watch. Rick Scotland playing some nice football. They just need someone to smash the ball into the onion bag, as you say, and finish the teams off and get a good score.
I mean, you look at the results so far under Rick, and it's been promising.
Oh, definitely. And I never sort of doubted Rick, to be honest with you, because it's the first time he's sort of been a manager. You know, he's always sort of... I know he was at, you know, Peel for many years, but, you know, whenever he's come in at sort of Air United, he was a number two, and he came in at... St John's, who was a number two. And when you listen to Rick, he's just a mine of information. And, you know, he can get the the best out of teams by altering how they play. But it is a temporary position for him. He took that on knowing that. And not that he wasn't wanted. I think if the Rick wanted it, he would be offered the full-time job. But Rick said, I'll step in and help. And that's what he's done. And he's steadied the ship. And they've had some good performances, but also had some stinkers as well. So that's a learning curve for all new players. And when you look at the amount of players this season that have come out of it, it's cost them dearly. And, you know, these younger players are going to take time to get up and also sort of finish the job off and get the points for them.
I mean, you look at the team, of course, there's quite a few people that stepped aside at the end of last season, quite a few big names like Sir Sean Doyle, for one. But looking at names that have come in, I mean, the likes of Joe Middleton, he's made a good name for himself coming into the FC Isleman squad.
Yeah, Joe has, and Joe's like a machine. He'll just chase the players down and, you know, get stuck in. But, you know, when he scored that sort of hat-trick, wasn't it, a while ago, he was just sort of a player that they were looking for. But, you know, they can mark Joe. You know, he's not the tallest of players, so it's not like a Sean Doyle where he's 6'4", 6'5", and you get some goals from there. And he will take penalties. Adam Adebayo, you know, is busy enough in that sort of midfield role, but we'll hear from Rob shortly. But whether Dean Pinnington plays tonight, Alex Maitland hopefully will be back in as centre-back just to give them a little bit more cover. But, you know, one or two injuries sort of picked up last time as well. And, you know, Carl Clarke, it's hard, and I'm not being disrespectful to Carl because he's an absolute fantastic player. But, you know, he's a little bit older and the bones don't recover as quick. And he took a knock a couple of weeks ago. And whether that he's carrying that a little bit, I'm not too sure. But, you know, fingers crossed for them. Obviously, me and you will be having a beer later on at Manx Radio's Christmas party. So we'll leave Rob down there to freeze to death and keep us posted. We'll listen to him while we're eating our meal.
Shh, you're not meant to tell everyone that. Well, team news is in. But for now, Tony, thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sport.
And with the time at 26 minutes to 6, let's head on down to the bowl and join Rob Pritchard. Rob, very good evening.
Yeah, very good evening, Ben. Welcome on Manx Radio AM 1368. Back under the floodlights at the bowl ahead of the latest NWCFL Premier Division test for FC Alavan up against AFC Liverpool with kickoff in just under 26 minutes' time at 6 p.m. Bringing you team news now, we will start, in fact, actually just at this moment in time, literally this second, I'm being handed a new team sheet for FC Isle of Man. Thank you very much to the team over here at the club as well. So there is going to be one change. The personnel-wise, we'll bring you that first with the changes. Four changes made by Rick Holden to the team that had that late 2-2 draw with Earlham last week. Dropping out are Jean Marquez, along with Harry Best, Sam Gelling and Adam Adebayi. Coming in, there are welcome returns for Alex Maitland and Dean Pinnington, the latter of whom, of course, was left out as a precaution last week after dealing with a knock for the previous weeks before that. Mark Blair also as the goalkeeper, he comes back into the side. He's only fit enough to make the bench though. And here's a name you might not have heard for some time as well, Sean Kelly. Quite a while since he last pulled on an FC Isle of Man shirt. He's in the squad and he'll also be starting from the outset as well. So here is your FC Isle of Man team to face AFC Liverpool. In goal is Adam Killier, and then it's Callum Sherry, Josh Kane, captain Michael Williams, Alex Maitland, Carl Watson, Steve Whitley, Dean Pinnington, Sean Kelly, Luke Booth and Charlie Higgins. Just the four substitutes now for FC Isle of Man. They are Carl Clarke, Joe Middleton, Leo Tregurtha and Mark Blair. And for the visitors, AFC Liverpool, they make three changes from that 5-1 humbling at the hands of league leaders Withenshaw in midweek, coming here in good form though, of course. One of the biggest and most notable changes to Phil Stafford's side is in goal, where David Parkinson is between the sticks in place of Ben Barnes. Deacon Smalley is suspended after picking a red card in the week, and Owen Fisher-Jones also drops out. Coming in along with Parkinson into the starting 11 is Joel Skillen. James McShane is also included in the squad and will start from the bench. So here is your AFC Liverpool squad. Squad for tonight's game in goal is David Parkinson, and then it's Andrew Starkey, Nathan Giblin, captain Adam Moorcroft, Matthew Brown, Jack Hinnigan, Caleb Jones, Cameron Rooney, Elliot Taylor, Joel Skillen and Mark Madden. And the substitutes for AFC Liverpool are Archer McShane, David Blankendall, Daniel Mahaffey and James McShane. Your referee this evening is Jack Vars, and his assistants are Nathan Cool and Baby Driver Glover. Now, both of these sides have a little bit of a cushion away from the bottom two going towards the end of the calendar year, but neither will want to be resting on their laurels going into what can be a tricky and sometimes hectic festive period at the end of December and going into 2026. For FC Isle of Man, they start 19th in the table, only 2 points behind their visitors today, and if they were to pick up a long-awaited second home win this season up against the Merseysiders, they would actually leapfrog their visitors in the table. However, AFC Liverpool, after a challenging start to the campaign results-wise, have been on something of a revival in the last couple of months. Indeed, that 5-1 defeat at the hands of Withenshaw Town in midweek is the only blot on what has been an excellent record in recent times. In fact, that is their only defeat since the 18th of October in all competitions. And the general tale, I guess, between the two sides, the tale of the tape, if you want to call it that, to coin a phrase from another sport, has generally been quite entertaining when these two sides have met. In the 9 meetings so far, 37 goals have been scored, and I do remember the dramatic end to this particular fixture at the Bowl last season, where there were 3 second-half stoppage time goals that saw FC Isle of Man come away with a dramatic late 2-1 win. So both teams in need of vital points. They won't want to be looking below them when they get towards the end of the calendar year, and both of them will be hoping to kick on tonight here under the floodlights in what will be both teams FC Isle of Man's last home game, I should say, before Christmas. They do have another game to come on the 20th of December. Needless to say, they'll be wanting to go in with plenty of Christmas spirit in the next couple of weeks. So FC Isle of Man versus AFC Liverpool, kick off at 6 p.m. live coverage here on Banks Radio AM 1368 from 6 o'clock.
Talking about Christmas spirit there, Rob, is there plenty of Christmas hats? Have you got your Christmas hat on?
Do you know what? I don't actually, because I'm quite worried because the wind has been swirling around here ever since I arrived. And of course, we've seen it across the afternoon. So I'm a little bit wary that if I was to don the hat, a gust would take it straight across the pitch and probably towards Onken somewhere. So I'm not going to take that risk tonight. In terms of the weather, I mentioned the wind as well. The rain has been a little bit on and off since I arrived here at around 4:30 p.m. The rain, just a little bit of drizzle at the moment. It was a little bit heavier earlier, then sort of died off a little bit before coming back, so I think that's going to be the case, that both teams might have to deal with some challenging conditions tonight. The wind, especially if those long balls are going across the pitch to either end as well, that'll be something for attackers and defenders alike that they'll have to consider, I guess. So all is set for what could be an intriguing contest, at least on paper, going off previous fixtures, Ben.
Absolutely. So, Rob, thank you very much, and we'll catch up with you just before 6 o'clock. Tony, bring you back in. A big name there that raised both our eyebrows there when it was said. Sean Kelly back in the squad.
Yeah, and it's just funny. We were just talking about they needed a big, you know, centre forward, and they've got one. You know, Sean, can he play the nine? He can do, because he's good in the air and he's tricky with that left foot. He's better off, I think, just off a centre forward. But it's great to see him back in, and that's the friendship that Rick's built with Sean when he was there coaching there, Sean. And I think Sean probably looked at it and think, well, you know, why not give it a go? You know, he's a great player, and, you know, Ayr United have been struggling a little bit and probably frustrating for him, and he's in the Ireland squad and he's starting straight away. And I think Sean could make a massive difference now, and, you know, just looking at the rest of the squad, you know, it's looking pretty strong. So let's just hope they get the 3 points and just give themselves a little bit of breathing space. Yes, they've got another game in a week's time, and then they've got a game on the 27th. So it's coming through thick and fast, but they need to start, you know, collating these points and getting them together, because they're under pressure, you know, to stay in this league. And if they could get some points away from the teams around them, then it's going to help them big time.
Absolutely. Well, Tony, as I said to Dave, have a very good Christmas, and we'll speak to you in 2026.
Yeah, and all the best to you, and, you know, it's I'll see you in about half an hour.
Bye, Tony. Thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sport.
20 to 6 here on Manx Radio AM, and this is Classified. And we're going to have a look at all things hockey now. And of course, this weekend it was the Mixed Plate and Bowl final. Of course, the Mixed Cup final will take place next weekend, and that is due to the Ireland senior teams being off Ireland this weekend, competing in the England Hockey Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 2 trophies. Let's have a look at the first game of the day, and that was the Mixed Bowl. Castletown Camogs, league champions in Division 2 against Vikings D, runners-up in Division 2, making this going to be a very close game. And it was indeed. Half-time, 1-1. Lauren Collister taking the lead for Castletown Camogs, but Braden Masterson getting the equaliser for Vikings just before half-time. In the second half, it was end-to-end stuff. in either side could be split, meaning the full-time whistle went at 1-1 heading into penalty flicks, and Vikings D come out on top with a 4-2 win on penalty flicks, meaning Vikings D, they might have been runners-up in Division 2 this year, but they have took the mixed bowl final and they claim the silverware. Commiserations to Castletown Camags, but they'll be delighted with their league campaign and taking the league trophy. In the mixed plate, though, it was Valkyries B 2, Backers C 0. Valkyries B do the double, thanks to Chris Adams and Steve Cottier, both on the score sheet. Valkyries B taking the league in that dramatic climax we had just 2 weeks ago, where we had four teams in Division 1. We're all in the running for that league title. There was 13 mathematical ways that league could have gone to either way. But Valkyries B took the league 2 weeks ago, and they've now took the mixed plate final back to the west of the island. And I'm sure there's going to be some big celebrations there this evening. Elsewhere off island, though, we do have one result to bring you, and that is from the England Hockey Men's Tier 3 Fars, and that featured the Isle of Man Men's B team. They were away at Trinton Men's first, and I'm pleased to say that the Isle of Man will be coming back to the island with the victory. Ronan Santanatolio, Ethan Adams, George Ratcliffe and Chris Whiting all on the score sheet for the Isle of Man Men's B team, giving them a fantastic result. The Isle of Man Men's A were in action in the England Hockey Men's Tier 2 Trophy. They are away to Preston's First Men. We haven't had a score through just yet, but if we do get anything through, we will let you know. Elsewhere, the England Hockey Women's Tier 2 Trophy, Liverpool Sefton's welcomed the Isle of Man Ladies A. Now, these two sides have met each other in quite a few times recently, and the Isle of Man have just been on the back end, the receiving end of the defeat. So we haven't had a score through just yet, but we will let you know as soon as we know. Coming up now, though, of course, 2 weeks ago, the Isle of Man ladies senior over 35s made their debut on the island when they welcomed Chester to the NSC. And they were competing in the England Hockey Over 35s Tier 1 Championships. Of course, the Isle of Man were a new form side, so lots of new faces taken to the pitch as well. And of course, Chester went into half-time 2-0 up, meaning the Isle of Man had big work to do in the second half. Chester then went 3 up early in the second half, but that didn't stop the Isle of Man from coming back to make it 3-2. In the dying moments, though, the Isle of Man scored what they thought was the equaliser to make it 3-3. But unfortunately, it was ruled out by the umpires. I was pitch side for the action. So at the NSC on Sunday, the Isle of Man Hockey Association fielded their first over 35s lady senior team in the England Hockey Championships. They welcomed Cheshire to the Isle of Man, and what a game it was. Cheshire just pipping the Isle of Man by 3-2 in an absolutely thrilling game at the NSC. We caught up with MHA Chairman Kim Carney and both goal scorers of the game for the Isle of Man following the game. So Kim, commiserations, just didn't happen right at the end there. We got the goal, but it was disallowed. But a great comeback from the Isle of Man being 3 down.
Yeah, it was, and we never felt out of the game at all, to be fair. We thought we had a few chances, you know, some great saves from the keeper, one coming off the post, and it just not quite getting there in the first half. I think we never ruled ourselves out from coming back. And the determination, especially in the Tier 1 as well, because everyone goes into Tier 1, so it's the unknown. You could literally get anyone, and they could have ex-England or Wales internationals like this team has got a couple of Masters Welsh players, so it just it's just a fear of the unknown. But then also we now go into the trophy and we've got pretty high hopes in that now.
Absolutely, in a newly formed side as well, lots of new faces in the team as well. That bodes well going forward for Manx Hockey as well.
Yeah, it's great to now have that next stepping stone. You know, we've built the juniors, the under-14s, the under-16s, under-18s now into the player pathway for the men's A and men's B Ireland teams, and now it just provides the next step for the over-35s and then the over-45s.
Absolutely. And as MHA chairman, for you, a day like this today, it must be special.
Yeah, to see all the families and supporters down cheering you on. It's just a lovely day on the Isle of Man, and to get a team across as well, it's just fantastic, because not a lot of teams want to come here, but they got up early this morning and made the journey, and that's usually us going the other way. So it's nice to have them here and host them on what is a great pitch for the NSC as well.
So that was Kim Carney following the conclusion of the game. We caught up with the Cheshire manager, Abby Hunter, to get her views on the game as well. Joined here by the Chester manager, Abby. Abby, first of all, welcome to the Isle of Man. How's your experience been to get to the Isle of Man?
Well, it was worth the 2 a.m. get up, definitely. And you brought the sun, so what a day.
Absolutely, and what a game as well. You were 3-0 up, and then the Isle of Man had a comeback, and they thought they got it right at the end, but the goal was disallowed. But you guys come away with a win.
Well, we put on a good game today, I think. Tough one for the girls. but we came for the fight, you know. We came overseas, we weren't going to go without the win. So. But I will also say, Isle of Man put on an absolute game, so it was a good one to come over for.
Yeah, as well as that, of course, it was a good atmosphere down here today. That really does help as well. Playing off from where you normally play as well, it's a great experience travelling to other venues.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a lovely, lovely pitch. It was lovely to be here, and it was a great experience for all of us. So, yeah, thanks for having us in the Isle of Man.
Manx Radio Sport.
12 minutes to 6 here on Manx Radio Classified. That just about rounds up everything that's took place today on the island. And that concludes Classifieds for 2025. On behalf of myself, Rob, Tony, Dave, Simon and everyone involved in the sports team, we would like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we hope that you will continue to follow us and join us in 2026. But if you don't want to miss out on the sport in action, and believe you me, there's been plenty of sport in action took place over 2025. On Monday, the 29th of November, make sure you're tuned in between 5 and 6 o'clock on Manx Radio FM, where we will have the sports review show of 2025, and that will be presented by Rob Pritchard with myself and all the other pundits chipping in and mentioning about all the highlights that have took place on the island over 2025. As well as that, we will look at all the other sporting action that has took place in the island and further afield as well. But there is just one thing for me left to do, and that is wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll speak to you all in 2026. Good night.